Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zavachim, daf Ayin Tes. We left off on daf Ayin Tes Amid Aleph yesterday. We are four lines down from the top. But just to get back into the sugya that we were discussing, we had been speaking a lot yesterday about Taroves. We had been speaking a lot about the issue of Bittel, of what sort of situation we would need to find ourselves in order for something of psul, for something that is not appropriate to be used, to outweigh everything that is kosher to be used. So for example, what we had been talking about yesterday for most of the daf was if you have blood of a kosher carbon that you wanted to sprinkle on the mizbeach and something else mixed into it, whether that something else be water, or whether it be red wine, or whether it be blood of a pasul of carbon, or an animal of chulin. And we had seen that there was a machlokes where there is a shita that holds from the idea of roan, that what we do is, even if what falls into the blood is min bimino, in other words, it has the same color, so really you can't ascertain how much of the prohibited substance is in the mixture, we pretend as if the prohibited substance were actually water, and then we make the following calculation. If it was water, would it be enough to change the appearance? And then we saw there's a shita that Stam says we follow the rove. What we saw towards the end of yesterday's daf was we saw a brisa that spoke about three things. We saw, and this brisa dealt with mikvos. We're going to continue with that today. But the brisa spoke about three things. It spoke about a bucket that's filled with spittle, with roke. It spoke about, and we said that if you are tovel that bucket, then it's not good because the roke the roke stands in the way of the water and prevents the water from penetrating. We had spoken about a bucket that's filled with mei raglayim, and we said that if it's mei raglayim, then we view the mei raglayim as if it's water because that's considered to be min bimino, and with hashaka it's enough. If the water of the mikvah has a hashaka, so-called kisses the water in the mei raglayim in the bucket, that's enough to be metaret. And then we said by mechatas, what happens if you have mechatas, which is the water into which you mix the ashes of the para aduma, and that water is in the bucket. Now that water happens to be in av hatuma, so if that water is in the bucket, at sheyirbu hamayim al mechatas, we said that there's a principle of rov. We say that the tvila of the bucket in the mikvah works so long as the mikvah water is the rove, and the rove of the mixture is mikvah water. But if rove of the mixture is mechatas water, then it's not going to work. And what we had seen yesterday was we asked, Rabbi Yehuda says roin. And if we say roin, in other words, the principle of roin should apply as follows, that even though the water of the mechatas and the mikvah water looks the same, we should pretend that the water of the mechatas is actually wine or something that has the ability to change the color of the mikvah. And so long as enough of the mechatas falls in that if it were wine, it would be able to change the coloration, it should passel the mikvah. So how come we don't say that? And what we wound up answering yesterday was we said, Hadideh Hadarabeh, that one is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the other is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe, Rabban Gamliel. That who is it who holds from the principle of Rowan? It's Rabban Gamliel. And how do we know that? Because what we ended with yesterday was Rabban Gamliel is machmir on in the concept of bittel. Because he says, ein dam mevatel dam, that dam can never be mevatel other blood, ein rok mevatel rok, that rogue can never be mevatel rogue, vei mei raglayim, mevatel mei raglayim. And mei raglayim cannot be mevatel other mei raglayim. So, Rabban Gamliel is the one who's machmir legabe bittel of these things, and therefore it's Rabban Gamliel who's the one who actually holds from Rowan. Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't hold from Rowan. That's why in the other brisa that we ended with yesterday, the mixture is going to be kosher so long as there is not a rove of mechatas. And we don't hold from the principle of Rowan. So what we're going to see today is we're going to see an alternative answer to this question. We're going to talk more about min bimino, min b'sheina mino, under what circumstances they can become batal. We're going to talk about the concept of mitzvos mevatlo zu azu just like we saw yesterday about the Averos being mavatel one another. And then we're going to talk about how you are able to be mavatel, or how you're able to get rid of the vestige of urine of a zav, which has the ability to be matame if the urine of the zav is soaked into a shard of pottery, which was used back then in the days of the Gemara as a urinal. How will it be possible to get that tumma item or that tumma status out of the vessel? And there's a Mishnah which then talks about dam tmimim, which mixes up in dam balei mumim towards the bottom. But I'm not sure we're going to start, because that Mishnah goes all the way over to goes all the way over to Peyam et Aleph. But again, just to reset where we were yesterday, was we saw a brisa that said mei chatas mixed with mikvah water. The mikvah water is going to be mitar unless the mei chatas is the rove. So you need a rove basically of mei chatas in order to passel the mei mikvah, thinking about it a different way. Why do you need a rove? Why don't we say that it's enough if we view the mei chatas as if it were something that would have the ability to change the color of the water? And we said, because that's Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe's Shita. That's Rabbi Gamliel. Tosfos just points out that throughout Shas, when we say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says min bemino lo batel, we are not referring to this answer of the Gemara, because in this answer of the Gemara, it's actually not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe. But now we're going to see an answer that it actually is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rava Amar, Rava says, this is four lines down on Ayin Tes Amid Aleph, so Rava Amar, Bitli Shatocho Tar, we're talking about a bucket where the inside of the bucket is tar, v'gabo tame yaskinan, and the outside of the bucket is tame. So, what type of tuma are we talking about? This is shayich only by a tuma midrabanan, because if you're dealing with a tuma midaraisa, there's no such thing that the inside of the bucket is tar and the outside of the bucket is tame. By a tuma midaraisa, there's only such a thing as either the whole bucket is tar or the whole bucket is tame. So we're obviously dealing here with a tuma midrabanan. And similarly, we have this concept as well, where midrabanan, there's this concept of tumas yadayim, that a person's hands are viewed as being able to convey a greater state of tuma than the rest of a person's body. That tumas yadayim, that concept of tumas yadayim, is also only a concept midrabanan, because again, midaraisa, either a person is tame or a person is tar. There's no such thing as half tuma, where part of the guy's body is tame, part of the guy's body is tar. But what we're talking about here is we have this type of dali, we have this type of bucket. The inside is tar, the outside is tame. Demidina sagilu bechaldehu, because really it's enough if a tiny bit of mikvah water enters the inside of the bucket. Rabbananu de gazribuhu, and the rabbanan were gozer that rove mikvah water, that once you put the bucket in the mikvah, rove of the water that's in the bucket has to constitute mikvah water. Dilma chayas alayev v'lo mavtile. Maybe you are going to have too much concern over the mechatas that is in the bucket, and therefore you're not going to do a proper tefila. V'kivan de'ika ribuye lo tzarech. However, since over here, rove of the mixture in the bucket is mikvah water, we don't have to be concerned any longer. So what does all this mean? So Rashi explains. So bedli shetocho tar v'gabo tameh is going to nit magabo betumas mashkin derabanan. So again, Rashi says we're talking about tumah midrabanan. The kaimelan tocho ogno ozno v'yado tahorin. So you have a situation where the outside of the dli, the outside of the bucket is tameh, the rest of the dli is tar. Demedina sagile b'knisas mayim l'tocha koldu. And Rashi says, really, all you need is a tiny bit of water to enter the interior of the bucket. So why do you need actually any water to enter the middle of the bucket? If the inside of the bucket is tar, why do you need any water to enter in there? And Rashi explains, because koldu shetale tfila l'sfaso tatocho ein tzarech tfila. Rashi says, enechinami, you don't need water actually to go into the bucket because the inside of the bucket is tahar. Why do we have to make sure that a little bit of water goes in? It's not on account of the inside, it's because if a little bit of the mikvah water goes in, then we know that the water would have covered the lip of the bucket. And the lip of the bucket actually does require it actually does require tefillah. So a medina, it's enough if a tiny bit of mikvah water goes in. And v'rabbanan u'degazer, again in Rashi, Rashi says the rabbanan were gozer shiat pilenu yafe, that you have to make it a nice tefillah. The amrit esagile b'tefillas gabo, if we said that it's enough to be tovel only the outside of the kli, maybe you're going to be so concerned with wasting any of the mechatas. We're afraid maybe you're going to be so careful you're not going to permit any of the mikvah water to even touch the lip of the kli. Therefore, they were gozer that to be tovelit and to pasalit v'kivan de'ika ribuye zulo tzorech tefilas tocho chumra ba'almahu. So what we said was that it's going to be a valid tefillah so long as we don't have a situation where rove of the stuff that's in the bucket is going to be mechata. So long as rove of the water that's in the bucket is me mikvah, it's going to be kosher. Why are we lenient? Usually we hold from a concept of rohen that as long as there's enough of the foreign object in it to discolor the mikvah water, if the foreign object were another color, yeah, that is a chumrah, but that chumrah is not appropriate here, because over here, the whole concept of dipping of being tovel the inside is only a chumrah. Really, it only has to cover the lip of the kli, and since it's only a chumrah, we're not going to be so machmer with the concept of rohen. We're going to say, we're going to follow rove over here. So says the Gemara. So that's the answer. That's why in this brisa of Mechatas, Rabbi Yehuda, who ordinarily holds from the concept of Rohen, here it's only Mishom Gzeira Midrabanan, and on account of Gzeira Midrabanan, we're not going to be so machmer as to say Rohen, we're going to follow Rove. Next, so halfway down. So Amar Rava, Amru Rabanan Betaima, the Amru Rabanan Beruba, the Amru Rabanan Bechazusa. The Chachamim have three different standards when it comes to Bittul. Sometimes it focuses on Tam, sometimes it focuses on Rov, and sometimes it focuses on color. So we saw a similar brisa yesterday. So says the Gemara, Min B'She'en Amino, if you have Min B'She'en Amino, is Bittaima. Then the Bittul is going to be Bittam. This is what we mean when we say Bittul B'Shishim. And even though, and this Tosva says this, even though we're really only shorthanding over here, because bittul betam really does depend on how strong the item is and how much of it takes in order to impart tam to something else. But stam, nesinas tam, is b'shishim. And therefore, if you have greater than a ratio of 60 to 1 or 1 to 60, the thing is not going to be batal because it's going to be no save tam. If it's a smaller ratio than 1 to 60, then it is going to be batal because we say that it's not going to be no save tam. So min b'she'in amino is b'no save tam. And this is consistent with what we saw yesterday. Now, min bimino is beruba, is with rove, and of course we can't go after tam because by min bimino the tam of the two things is alike. So if the tam of the two things is alike, we can't say that there's going to be a bittul benosei tam because there is no nesinas tam from one to another because they're alike, and therefore we're going to follow the rove. There happen to be other shitos that say that min bimino is not totally on tam necessarily, rather it's totally on what the item is called. That if two items are called the same thing, then that would be also a case of min bimino. Bepashas are Gemara's mashma that the criteria is really with tam, and that's why we say even though by min bimino we follow a no saint tam standard, we can't even by min b'she'en amino, sorry, we follow a no saint tam standard. By min bimino, we can't because the tam is equal. So when the tam is the same, what do? We follow principles of rove. And now the brisa says, hecha de'ika chazusa b'mare. And where tam is not the appropriate way of measuring something, for example, the main mikvah and the foreign object falls into the main mikvah and we're trying to figure out whether the mikvah is kosher or pasul. Obviously, tam has nothing to do with anything because you're not drinking the main mikvah, we hope. Therefore, what it's totally on is its totally on appearance. So in other words, over here we come back to min b'she'in amino, we're going to follow chazusa, we're going to follow mare. Okay, so pligi de Rabbi Eliezer, and this argues on Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi, so when we say Yopliga, we mean we have to think back to the Brisa that we had yesterday. We had a Brisa where the guy was trying to make the world's most usur hamburger and had a piece of meat that was pigle, a piece of meat that was nosur, and a piece of meat that was tameh. And what we had said was that we can't hold this guy liable for eating this this ultimate treif sandwich. And we said, why? Rashi pointed out, because whatever hasra we give him is going to be hasra safek. Because we have to be masra him, don't eat it, because you're going to violate the isra of pigle, or nosur, or tameh. And at any time, when the guy's eating it, when the mixture is in his mouth, we're afraid that maybe the pigle is not going to be the rove, maybe the nosur is going to be the rove. And we don't know exactly how to give him the hasra. And the Gemara said yesterday that one of the things we learned from this brisa is that hasra safek is lo shma hasra. So that brisa, though, where we have a concept of one iser being mevatel another iser, and thereby putting us in a position where we're unable to give a hasra's vadai, that argues on Rabbi Lazar. Why? The Amar Rabbi Lazar, kashem shein mitzvos mevatlo zuazu, kach ein isurim mevatlo zuazu. Just like mitzvos are not mevatel one another, so too isurim are not mevatel one another. So if isurim are not mevatel one another, then we should never be afraid that maybe one of the other isurim is going to be a rove and it's going to be mevatel the other one that's a miyad. If isurim are not mevatel one another, we don't have to be afraid of that. And you could always give a asras vadai. So says the Gemara, man shamet le di amar ein mitzvos mevat lo zu ezu. Who's the man the amar who says that ein mitzvos mevat lo zu ezu? Hilleli, this is Hillel, detanya, like we see in a brisa. Amru olav al Hillel azakein, that they said regarding Hillel azakein, shayu korchan bevas achas, that he would be korech, the pesach, the matzah, the marar, at one time, the ochlan, and he would eat them. Mishum shenemar, al matzos umrorim yochluhu. Because it says, al matzos umrorim yochluhu. And Hillel made this sandwich, even though, he could have been afraid that one of the mitzvahs, either the Pesach or the Matzah or the Maror, was going to be Mevatel the other one. But he was not afraid that the mitzvahs were going to be Mevatel the other one. The Achronim are bothered, why would he have been? First of all, if the mitzvah is to eat them all together, then you're doing the mitzvah by doing this, number one. Number two, that why should we even be afraid that if you put two things in your mouth at the same time, that one of them is going to be mevatel the other thing? That doesn't really necessarily make any sense. So some of the Achronim answer, because one of the things that he's eating is marar, and the tam of the marar is so bitter that we're so strong that we're afraid that the bitterness of the marar is going to overtake the taste of the Pesach or the Matzah. But we weren't, kamash malan, that a mitzvah was mevatlo zu azu, and therefore Hillel had nothing to worry about. Others ask, the Mordechai asks, a more practical question, how is it that Hillel was able to actually eat all these things at the same time? Because that sounds like a massive sandwich, like the jawbreaker from traditions. It's piled full with all this stuff in it, right? And he says, first of all, we have a concept that the Beis HaBliya is machzik only the size of a kebetza. What's a betza? A betza is two zeisim. But what do you need in order to be korech Pesach Matzah Morah B'yachad? You need a kzayis of Pesach, a kzayis of Matzah, a kzayis of Morah. That's three betzim. So if the Beis HaBliya is machzik only two zeisim, how in the world would he fit this whole sandwich in his mouth? So the Mordechai answer is what really is a pashat answer, that the Beis HaBliya is machzik only two zeisim of whole food. What he would do is he would put the sandwich in his mouth, then he would take another bite and another bite. He would then chew the food. So if you chew the food, chewed food, the Beis HaBliya is machzik actually, because the food is actually compressed when it's chewed. So if it's chewed food, the Beis HaBliya is machzik three zeisim. So you don't have to worry. So he was able to fit all this stuff in his mouth at the same time. He was not worried that mitzvos would be mevatel one another. And then we try to draw a comparison, just like he wasn't worried about mitzvos being mevatel one another, so too he would hold that averos cannot be mevatel one another. Okay, flipping over to Ayin Tes Amud Beis. So Tanu Rabbanan. So we have the following brisa: Charsan shel zav v'zavav. You have the shard of a urinal that was used by a zav and a zava. So the meiraglayim of the zav is in this shard, is on the shard of pottery. Pam Rishona Visheni Tame. If you washed it one time or even two times, it's going to remain Tame. Shlishi Tar. However, if you wash it a third time, then it's going to be Tar. So says the Gemara, Bamedvar Mamurim Shanasan Latocha Mayim. That's only when you wash the shard with water. Avalo Nasan Latocha Mayim. However, if you do not wash the shard with water, meaning if you try to rinse out the Meiraglayim of the Zav with Meiraglayim of a person who was Tahar, then Afilu Asiri Tameh, then even if you wash it 10 times, it's still going to remain Tameh. Why? Because Min Bimino is Eino Batal. Because the Meiraglayim of the Tahar person cannot have the ability to be Mevatel, the Meiraglayim of the Zav, because that's Min Bimino, and Min Bimino is Eino Batal. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov says, Shlishi, that it's batal after three times, afal pi shelanosan latocha mayim tar. That after three times it's going to be tar, even if you didn't put water into it. In other words, even if you rinsed it with meiraglayim of a tar person, it's going to be tar after the third time. So because he doesn't hold from the concept of min bimino ain't a batal. So man shamet le damar min bimino la batal. So who's the one who says that min bimino is not batal? It's Rabbi Yehuda. It is Rabbi Yehuda who we saw who says that min bimino is not going to be batal. And Rashi points out Vishmamina Mantanakama the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Rabbi Yehuda v'kamar mashkin and avlon becheres b'tlaso zimne palti. So the svara of the Tanakama and the Brisa is that if you wash it three times, then it's going to be enough to be mevatel the mei raglayim. Because over here again, we have the Tanakama of this brisa says that if you wash it even 10 times with mei raglayim, it's not going to be enough. That's obviously Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov argues and says that the third time is going to be enough even with mei raglayim. So who's the Tanakama of this brisa? That is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So Veraminu, so the Gemara now asks a question. Pishtan shetavaso nida. If you have flax that a nida, a woman who's a nida, is spinning, so masiteyu tar, and that if she just moves the flax while she's spinning it, then it's going to be tar. Vim hayalach, and if the flax was moist from her saliva, then masito tameh. If she moves it, it's then going to be tameh. Mishum mashke piha. Because of the mashke pia, because her saliva is on this flax, and certainly the mefarshim explain, even if she doesn't move the flax, but if we actually see her mashke pia, if we actually see her spittle on the flax, then it's going to be tameh. The flip side, if she moves it but doesn't get any of her saliva on the flax, then it's going to be tar. All right, so you have this woman who's a nida, and she's spinning the flax. If she stam moves the flax, it's going to be tar. If she gets her saliva on the flax, it's going to be tameh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, af harotvo b'mayim tameh. Even if a person soaks it in water, it's going to be tameh. Mishum mashke pia va'afilu tuva. That if you soak it in water a bunch of times, it's going to be tameh because of mashke pia, even if you soak it a lot. So what's the question? The question is, because the Tanakama of our Braisa said that if you soak something in water, then it's going to get rid of the Meiraglayim of the Zav. But over here, Rabbi Yehuda's, and we said that the Tanakama of our Braisa was Rabbi Yehuda, that he said the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda said doesn't work to be Mevatel the Meiraglayim is Meiraglayim of a Tar person, because that's Min Bimino, and Min Bimino is not Batel. But the Tanakama of this Braisa on top of the Amud said that if you soak the Charsan Shel Zav in water enough times, then it's going to be Mevatelit. But over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that if we have the spittle of the woman on the flax, even if you soak the flax in water 10 times, it's not going to be mevatelet. So why in the first braisa does Rabbi Yehuda say that water works? Why in the second braisa that we just saw now does Rabbi Yehuda say that water doesn't work? So the answer is Amara Papa Shani Roke Dikariri. Roke is different. Dikarir. Roke is different because it penetrates, and therefore, once the roke penetrates into the flax, you're not able to get rid of the roke, even if you soak the flax multiple times. Masha Enke, the Meiraglayim of the Zav, it doesn't penetrate that much, and therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would say, if you're using water as a cleansing agent, after the third time, it's enough to expel the Meiraglayim from the Cheres. So says the Gemara now, Viter. So we had seen in the Mishnah that Nisarev B'dama Psulim Yishafek La'ama, that if the blood gets mixed up with the dam of a pasul, either with a Raveya or a Nirva or a Pigul or Noser, then you have to pour it in into that Amma that carries the blood out of the Azara. So says the Gemara B'mai Kamiflagi. What are they arguing about? Because Rabbi Eliezer, so we have to see, we should actually see what was written in the Mishnah, but what we had seen in the Mishnah was Nisarev Bedam Psulim Yishafech La'ama, Bedam Atamtzis Yishafech La'ama. If the blood gets mixed up with Dam Pasul, then you have to spill it into the Amma, you have to spill it into the channel. Bedam Atamtzis, if it gets mixed up with the Dam Atamtzis, then you have to spill it into the Amma. However, Rabbi Eliezer Machsher, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's kosher as long as robe of the blood is okay. Is kosher of blood, then the mixture is going to be kosher. And then we said, Imlo Nimlach V'nosan kosher. And if you didn't ask what to do, the kohen didn't ask what to do, and therefore he wasn't able to be told you should pour it into the Amma. If he wasn't asked what to do and he stopped putting it on the Mizbeach, then it's going to be kosher. So what's this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lazar? So says the Gemara, so what are they arguing about? So Amar Rav Zvid said, Begozrin Gzeira B'Mikdash Kamiflagi. They're arguing about Gozrim Gzeira B'Mikdash. The Mar Savar Gozrin, Umar Savar Lo Gozrin. One Mandiyamar says that we are Gozer Gzeira. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say we're not going to be Gozer Gzeira. So what does this mean? So we need Rashi to help us understand. So Rashi, a couple of lines up from where they get wide, says, Begozrin Gzeira B'miktash Pligim, Osin Syag B'Kachim, if we make a Syag by Kachim La'archik Mina Avera, V'lo Chashin and Lefzid Kachim. The question is, are we going to make a Syag in order to be Marchik people from Avera and not worry about Hefzid Kachim? Because remember, if we're going to make a siyag and we're going to try to hold ourselves to a high standard by kachim, the result is we're going to wind up pouring all of this blood into the amma, and included in the blood that's being poured into the amma is blood of a kosher karban. And that's not good to waste kachim, that's blood of a kosher karban. So they're arguing about gozrin gzeira b'mikdash. Tanakama sovar gozrin. Tanakama says we are gozer gzeira. We're afraid that if we don't tell the guy to pour the mixture of blood into the amma, he's going to come to do a zrika that is comprised solely of dam pasul or dam tamsis. And we're afraid of that, therefore we're going to force the guy to throw out the mixture. As Rashi explains, Tanakama sovar gozrin, hilkach nes arev dam kosher b'dam pasul. Therefore, if the dam kosher gets mixed up with the dam pasul, o b'dam atamtzis, or with the dam atamtzis, vi afal pi she'ein b'pasul v'lo b'tamtzis k'dei levatel es ha-kosher, even though there is not enough of the dam atamtzis or the dam pasul to be mevatel the dam kosher, yishafech la'ama, you have to pour it into the amma, gzeira dilma osi lachshurei nami echa diyesh b'dam apostle b'dam atamtzis k'dei levatel es ha-kosher. Because we're afraid that if I allow you to sprinkle this, maybe you're going to sprinkle even where the Dam HaTamtzis or the Dam HaPasul is a robe and is enough to be mevatel the kosher of blood. Now, why would Rav Elazar say that we don't have to be gozer? I'm sorry. And the reason that we don't make this gzeira by dam behema and dam chaya, because it's not shchiach to have chulin in the azara, therefore we don't have to be gozer, because milsa de lo shchicha lo gozer very rabbanon. Aval psulin de shchichi, however, psulin are shchiach, v'chem tamtzis shchiach, and also the dama tamtzis is shchiach, de rabba ala nefesh, because Rashi says, according to this mandiyamar, according to this shita, the dama tamtzis is actually more, there's more dama tamtzis than dama nefesh, therefore it's considered to be shchiach. Therefore, the Tanna Kamma says we have to be gozer gzeira. So we're gozer gzeira, even if the bad blood is a minority, lest you come and put the blood on the Mizbeach when the bad blood is a majority. And Rashi says, Rabbi Lezer Savar ain't gozerin. Rabbi Lezer says that we are not gozer. Because Choshu Chachamim Shalala Hafsid Kachim Machmas Gzeira, the Chachamim were concerned that we not waste Kachim on account of Gzeira. Hilkach Achim and Apostle Kadesh Loya Mayim, Hilkach Achim and Apostle Kadesh Iloya Mayim Loya Nikur Dam Hakasher Bo Machshirin Leilas Rika. Therefore, it's going to be kosher unless there's enough of the other blood such that if that other blood was water, it would make the original blood not have the appearance of blood any longer. So that's the first explanation of the Gemara that the Tanna Kamma says we do make gzeira, and Rabbi Lazar says we do not make gzeira. Rapapa Amar, no, Dekuli Alma Gozrin. Everybody agrees in principle that we would make a gzeira in the mikdash to safeguard somebody from putting something pasul on the mizbeach, even if the result is going to be that we're going to cause you to pour out into the ama otherwise kosher blood. So even though the kosher blood is not batal, we're still going to force you to pour out the mixture. What then is the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Lazar? So v'hacha b'dama tamtzis motzui l'rabos al dama nefesh kamiflagi. Mar savar shchiach umar savar lo shchiach. Over here, they're arguing in a metzias. They're arguing whether the dama tamtzis is greater than the dama nefesh. In other words, what we saw in the previous Rashi that we read together inside was that we're only going to make gzeira by a milsa d'shchicha. Therefore, we're not going to start making gzeiras what happens if the blood of a kosher karban is mixed in with blood of a chulin animal, because it's not really shchiach to have chulin animals in the azara. But we are going to make gzeira what happens if blood of a kosher animal gets mixed up with blood of a pasul karban, because pasul karbanos are shchiach in the azara. Now the question is, do we have to make gzeira what happens if dam ha-nefesh gets mixed up with the dam ha-tamtzis? That depends on if the dam ha-tamtzis is shchiach. So if there's more dam ha-tamtzis than dam ha-nefesh, then the dam ha-tamtzis is going to be shchiach, and therefore we should make gzeira. If the dam ha-tamtzis is not greater in amount than the dam ha-nefesh, then the dam ha-tamtzis is not considered to be shchiach, and a milsa d'lo shchicha lo gazru bei rabbanon, so there would be no reason to make gzeira. So says the Gemara. So Bishlam al Rapapa, I understand according to Rapapa, Hainu Diktani nis arev bedama psulim yishafech la'ama. Bedama tamsis yishafech la'ama. So according to Rapapa, I understand why we break up this why we break up the statement in the Mishnah into two different segments. Ela l'Rav Zvid, but according to Rav Zvid, l'Ravinu v'lisninu. Why don't we learn the two things together? Why don't we just say Nisare b'dama tamtzis or Nisare b'dama psulim yishafech l'ama? So says Rashi kasha. So says the Gemara rather. Kasha. So Rashi explains over here, what are we saying? So Bishlam al Rapapa, the two Rashis before the Mishnah, Bishlam al Rapapa, Damri, lo palig Rabbi Lazar Beresha. Rabbi Lazar doesn't argue in the Resha. In other words, the first case of the Mishnah, where in this Arev Dam Behema Ksheira with Dam Pasul, Rabbi Lazar would agree that it's Yishafech Lama. Why? Because the Dam Pasul is Shchiach, and he agrees that we make Gzeros in the Beis HaMikdash. It's only in the case of Dama Tamsis that he says we don't have to be gozer, because Dama Tamsis is not Rabal Dama Nefesh, therefore it's Lo Shchiach, and Amilsud Lo Shchicha Lo Gozru Bei Rabbanan. Therefore, the Resha, the way to read the Resha, says Rashi, is that the first statement of if the blood of the Kachar Karban gets mixed up with the blood of the Pasul Karban, then Yishafech Lama, that's a Divrei HaKol. Second case, if the blood of the nefesh, dama nefesh, gets mixed up with the dama tamtzis, Tanna Kamma says yishafech la'ama, because we're gozer gzeira b'mikdash. Rabbi Lazar says no, we don't have to spill it out because the dama tamtzis is not rava al dama nefesh. Therefore, there's no need to make gzeira. But according to Rav Zvid is the one who said that they're arguing about the actual concept of are we gozer gzeira in the mikdash.
And he says, if that's what they're arguing about, Ela Rav Zwidler, Vinov Lisninu, this Arev Bedam Psulim, O Bedam Atam, says he Shafik La'ama, because it's the same machlokas in both cases, because they're arguing about the very fact of whether we're going to make a Gzeira in the Mikdash or not, and therefore there's no reason to divide these two cases into two, says the Gemara Kasha. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's a good question. All right, we should probably leave off over here because we're not going to finish the whole Mishnah, and the whole Mishnah carries us too far into Amid Aleph tomorrow, but we'll pick up from this place in the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.